What's up, Food Podcast? We're back. Or I'm always back. I don't go nowhere. I'm always here, man. They got me here on a lifetime contract. What's up, Food? Rodrigo's back from Mexico.
Yeah, man. What's cracking, dog?
What's up, bro? People thought you're not gonna come back.
What are they talking about? I was just gone for a week, but the only thing was is from Wednesday to Wednesday, and my flights were in the day.
So you went there for a wedding, right?
No, my cousin graduated on Saturday, so we went for that, but wanted to spend 3 days beforehand, 3 days after.
You took your lady with you?
Yeah, man.
You invited her or she invited herself?
No, I invited her, fool. What am I going to be? If you got a lady, what are you going to go to places by yourself, dog? You know what I mean?
Geez, a lot of people do that, bro.
You can't be doing that in these days. Then somebody else
is going to. I eat at the best restaurants, dog, by myself.
Then somebody else is going to tuck in your lady, dog.
What's up, fool? You got anything good over there?
Dude, the bombest food ever.
What you have?
Dude, everything, dog.
Wow. But a lot of people want to know what everything is.
Everything is Oaxacan tamales, Mexican tamales.
Oaxacan tamales, what are those made out of?
Well, they wrap them in a
different color?
Probably the same, but they're different. They're like square, opposed to being like oval. Also had some bomb-ass stuff that I had last time.
But the tamales were square, like they make it with banana leaf or corn?
Yeah, banana leaf, because it's down there in the south. But one of the bombest things that I had last time that's a bomb, I don't know if you ever had it, was chicharrones de pulpo, which is fried octopus.
No.
Which was bomb as hell, dude. And I've only had that
once. I
always
thought that octopus tastes like hard.
It's
rubbery.
Dude. It was nice and soft, but they do it enough, dude. All right. I'll keep on going because there were about 12 things, dog, that I had that were bomb as fuck.
I'm waiting for more of the octopus.
The octopus, bomb as hell. It's the not the tips, but from like where the hand
the
starts waving.
The suction part.
All that part. And part.
Fried with flour?
No. With, I don't know what. I think it's just lightly fried, dude. But they come out crisp, dude, on the outside, and you cut it. It's just nice and soft in the middle, dude. It was bomb. I had it last time at this place called the Sonora Grill. This time it was in Porfirio right there in Polanco in Mexico City.
What do they serve it with?
They serve it with guacamole. They serve it with salsas. They serve it with lime and tortillas so you can make tacos and a side of refried black beans, dude. And a little bit of dry cheese on the top. Not so much queso fresco, but I think it's like dried panela.
Not your first time having that?
Second time.
But yeah, but your lady liked that?
Yeah, she was down
with it. She liked seafood?
Yeah.
I don't know, Michael. When I used to have the Siete Mares, la super mixta.
La tostada
ceviche,
mixta?
Yeah, man. And they had pieces. It would have pieces of octopus. It was always hard. It was always hard, like not rubbery, you know?
And one thing why I think it was used to be hard because that shit wasn't fresh, dog.
No?
Yeah, that's another reason. That's what I believe. Because I've ate at the same spot before.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then si no la curan bien, because that stuff right there, you know, they do it with lime, right? And if they don't leave it long enough, it's not going to soften up as much, dude.
Do you have some good tacos?
They do the bombest tacos ever, dog. They don't get better than Mexico.
Not like when people say, oh, it's tremendous. Went deep.
Dude.
They are really good.
Nah, fool. It is fucking succulent.
Would you compare them to like, as good as what? Which ones in LA?
Dude.
La Estrella?
I don't want to be a dick or nothing, but you can't, like, you know, that Tigres
del Norte. It's different, huh?
Incomparables, dog.
The tortillas were made there, too?
The tortillas are made there. And the thing is, with the tortillas in Mexico, fool, and not all of them now, because now a lot of stuff's getting imported to the ranches, the tortillas are made there fresh, and they don't have any preservatives, because those are the tortillas that after they become warm, they harden up.
Yeah.
So they're that much better, dude. They taste different, dude.
I remember those tortillas, man.
You know?
Yeah, when Lisa makes flour tortillas, they're soft once we eat them, but once you put them in that bag, next day they're super hard.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can revive them and bring them back to life on the comal, but when they come out fresh, dude, that's the best way to have them, dude. And
like if you want them to, if you want those type of tortillas to go, they would just cook them a little bit, and then you just finish warming them up in your house.
Oh, fuck yeah, warm. Dude.
And
Well, that's Mondo's the tortilla king, man. I eat tortilla. I
How's
I
the
eat,
butter? Is it different?
Chinese food with tortillas.
Or buttery?
I didn't really
they
taste
butter
any butter.
In food?
I don't think as much, dude. I think it's nothing that I can recall. That, you know, when you get tortillas, they don't serve you butter with it, dude. You know what I mean? Not like here.
Did you have any Any licuados, any shakes?
None of that stuff.
That always tears up shakes when you're in Mexico, man.
One thing that I had that I didn't have last time was I had cochinita pibil, which was bomb at three spots. But
What is that?
Cochinita pibil is from the Yucatan area of Mexico.
From Yucatan Peninsula.
But it's pork, but it's marinated in like a reddish chile. And it's just everything, dude, put together, and they mix it all up, and it's nice and soft. That place over there off of Hillhurst has it, but it's not as good as that thing. No way. It's dry, dude.
Oh, you're talking about that place?
That little taco stand next to
Yucatan? Yucateco.
Yeah, that place.
That bomb at Red Food.
Yeah, that stuff's good, but it just isn't as good as that place, dude.
I know where you're going there now.
And it's fucking bomb. But what I didn't have last time
couldn't
was...
Carne de deshebrada, right?
Yeah, it's almost mole-ish.
Pork.
Yeah, it's pork.
Yes.
And it's, I think
I
it's
a... I love that shit.
And it's not the pork when it's old. I think it's like a young little pig, dude. So that's much more softer and stuff.
Yeah, man. I think Lisa has perfected that red sauce when she makes the tamales. When she makes mole. No, when she makes pozole.
Yeah, because that's what it's almost mole-esque.
It has a leaf, huh? Like a leaf?
They use
like a basil leaf or something.
When they pack it in there, they put that in there. But what I didn't have last time was a manita de puerco, which is the hand.
The paw?
Yeah, the hand right there from the wrist to the little. And what they do is they bake it in that stuff, and it comes out super soft, dude. The tendons in there.
We're talking the baked.
La manita, the front
feet. The hand of the pig, right?
Yeah. Not the hind ones. And it's super bomb. And I've had them before.
They fry it with what? With butter?
No, they bake it. Not with butter. Just with that stuff that they're doing, the same thing, cochinita pibil.
They cut the nails off and all that?
No, it's there, fool. Everything's there. You suck all that shit off.
You slice it off?
Yeah, you put it in there.
There's
in your
meat
mouth.
Off that rubbery.
It's the tendons, the little meat, the little fat.
The chicharrón.
But it's not chicharrón, dude. That's the thing. Because I've had it with chicharrones before in carnitas where they put those in there. Because everything gets used, even the fucking tail. And it's really good. But I think this is even better. But that was bomb that I had.
Well, they're like stuff, delicious food in Mexico City that is hard to copy. Like you don't see it in LA too much because it's illegal or it's just the time it takes to prepare. There just wouldn't be enough time to make money.
There's not enough
it.
Time. I think a lot of the stuff that's all hipstered up and like, you know,
like
made popular here.
Thing like that one. The pork hand would be tough.
Yeah, that, and it's hard to make it because they make it in a different, I think they put it in like a deep thing.
Yeah, we can't
ground.
Do that here no more. Remember that man set that over there
in Texas?
North?
Well, in Texas, remember I went to go eat that barbacoa? Yeah. They can't do it there just because Texas health law forbids them to put stuff under the dirt.
Well, some people get away with it, huh?
Yeah, but I'm sure you can't go advertising that shit. Maybe at your house you can do it. But that was bomb as hell, dude. The tacos that are made out of the tortillas were made out of nopal.
Oh man,
they were green.
Green tortillas.
Yeah.
Damn.
And that
fist bump on that one because that sounds good. At least.
Yeah. And those were
corn tortilla made out of cactus.
And they were green. And those were, I guess, from the Oaxaca area. But that was at the particular restaurant Porfirio's in Polanco, which we tried like three or four different regions of food. But that was bomb as hell, dude.
What kind of stuff? Mexican food that's considered Mexican food and over here, it doesn't even exist over there in Mexico. Burritos?
No, there's no burritos. There's just tacos.
Unsourced thing, huh?
No, the burritos are North American. Even though Mexico is North America.
Nachos?
Nachos are American, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not Mexican food.
Yeah, started in
supposedly
the
started
border.
In like, right there across by Juarez and all that
and
stuff.
And I seen the original nachos. It was a chip with a cheese and a jalapeno.
I suppose it was like, I think we read it up one day. Every chip had a piece of cheese on there. Quesadillas, yes.
They like quesadillas. They're different. Like a tostada, almost.
Yeah. They cook them a little bit more where the cheese is like falling out of it.
Yeah.
Now they have one that's called a quesadilla gringa.
I saw on someone's page that, the guy Chuy, the guy tells a lot of, like, fool, I send you a pinaqueque.
Oh, yeah, the video.
Saca el sol.
Yeah. That fool.
Yeah, that fool. He went to a place where they're making quesadillas, but the quesadillas were not like ours. It was like they were barbecuing, so they put a flat corn tortilla with a lot of Monterey Jack, and they just let that motherfucker bake, and they just put meat on top.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. There's a lot, and like I don't know if that's called a molita, but they have a lot of those molitas, those are corn tortillas. But they also had a lot of gorditas like that, opposed to the ones.
Yeah, gorditas
like,
in Mexico City.
Yeah, dude.
Bomb. Different than Grand Central Market.
Dude, it's like, dude, they're good there at Grand Central Market. They're really tasty. They're really delicious. But this is just to the next level, fool. You can't compare it. It's just
taco. It's soft and crunchy at the same time.
That time, dude. But the lady that's making the gorditas has been making it since she's been 30 years old, and she's 70, dog. That's
and
the
right
thing.
There, how already made,
right,
huh?
Dude, it's
No prepping shit. It's
no,
there, huh?
No prepping, dude. It's all like second nature to him. Like, for instance, he's the last day I was there, we had the first time we had
it's a show, huh?
Oh, it's definitely a show. It's art, dude. We had Tacos del Pastor, which we didn't really have because, you know, we're running around doing a bunch of other shit. So the dude has the pineapple on top, the onion on the bottom, the meat in the middle.
You got that?
Yeah, but he's waiting for everything to get crispy. Then he's doing a cut and get you a taco. After he does that, he with his sword, I posted a little video on Snapchat. He snatches a piece of fucking with the machete, snatches a piece of pineapple, a slice, puts it on that taco, dude. Whether you want two, four, or no, orden is usually five.
Let me tell you, man, I've eaten a lot of tacos al pastor and vegan and chicken, vegan and non-vegan. And I've seen that pineapple on top. I've seen the onion on top. The taquero has never cut a piece of onion and a piece of pineapple and put in my taco. And I'm thinking, why? I always thought that was just for looks, but he's never hooked me up like that. Do I got to ask over here in America?
I guess you have to ask, fool.
But, fool, that sounds good. Like,
dude, let me tell you.
Hawaiian style, like, a little bit of me. I don't mean, like, I remember eating, I think with Lisa, we were eating a pineapple pizza. And I was like pretending I liked it, but I took I was throwing the pineapple away. You know, I wasn't used to that. You know, I was just throwing the pineapple away. I don't want to order two pizzas, whatever. But man, that sounds good.
I like pineapple pizza when the shit gets a little bit burnt.
Now I do.
And what's the problem with people having? Because I've seen a lot of memes of people are anti pineapple pizza, dog. I think it's delicious myself. I think
you got a nice piece of ham. Forget about it.
Oh yeah, but
How about torta de jamón? You saw them?
We seen them, but we didn't have tortas de jamón. We had tortas de chorizo from Toluca, which is the chorizo is red. Like, you know, normal chorizo is red, but this one's red, like almost crayon red.
Is it made of pork or beef?
Pork. And that's a different type of chorizo from that part of Mexico. This is right next to it.
But they make it right through their hands, huh?
I've seen it. They hung it up, rolled it up, and then they slice it, and then they cut it up.
When you had it, taste, when you ate it, did you eat it like chorizo style or like ground beefy or in a little ball?
No, they had it in a bolillo. They cut the bolillo. They put a little bit of mayonnaise. They fucking put it down on the grill, cooked that up. They put slices of avocado, slices of tomato, slices of onion, lettuce, and then the chorizo in there with a layer of beans.
Fatter, bro.
No, I did come fatter, fool. I've been decompressing the last week. I was eating all those vegetables.
That's why you ain't no bread in now. And I'm tempting.
Oh, it was just too much. We had so much cheese, fool. So much cheese.
You didn't bring any?
So much meat. Nah, fool.
How about machaca?
None.
You had no machaca over there?
I just, dude, I didn't try any. You know what I did? I had a machaca on my eggs, but the fresh machaca.
That's the best, bro.
Not the shredded dry one, like Sonora style.
How about, there's a lot of mixtures of nationality now, so they're like, are they mixing like Thai food with Mexican style?
One thing, fusing, I don't really know too much about that. What I did see, there's a lot of Chinese restaurants and more Thai, but supposedly the Chinese food in Mexico is off the hook, but we just didn't have enough time to try
pizza.
Pizza's everywhere, dude. But it's all like, dude, it's a 24-hour city, dude. Everything. Thai food, Chinese food, Indian food, Russian food. All types of shit, dude.
You stay at a hotel?
No, at my cousin's pad right there. Yeah, though, dude. But the food is, dude, it's just different, dude. I mean, I don't know the last time you went to Mexico or
Never.
Whatever. But if you remember, the smells are different. It just smells better, dog. It's there, fool.
I remember there was that. I was at a farmer's market in Tijuana, Mexico, and we're buying like a lot of stuff, man. We're buying a lot of stuff, huaraches, a lot of stuff.
Stocking up.
And then we went to this place with all candy, man, nothing but bees all over the place.
Yeah, it's all dulce, dog.
Like, and then the pan dulce, the guy opened up the cup, he took the blanket, the sheet off the pan dulce to show us. Fucking bees came out of nowhere, bro.
Attacked it.
But some good ass pan dulce. It was warm, bro. Well, under that blanket.
We did try some over there, dude. And it just, dude, like here, after a little while, dude, wherever you get it, it gets a little hard. It's good, whatever. Over there, dude, you bite into it, it's fucking soft. Melts in your mouth, dude.
Over here, when you buy a concha, it is a concha, bro. It's hard, dog.
You can hit somebody with it.
And how about gancitos?
Dude, we had some gancitos too, and we brought some bad, dog. There's no more, dog.
You freeze them, huh?
We didn't freeze them here. We just brought them all just like style in packs of three because that way they don't get smashed. But yeah, man. Bomb as fuck.
Man, before we get to our shout outs, man.
Yeah, man.
We were at the Tempe Improv last week. It was hilarious. Sold out shows. Chris Torino out there. Yeah, bro.
Bro, I'm a different dude now, bro.
I lost a lot of weight, bro.
I'm like a kid again,
bro. What weight you lost, Chris?
Bro, I lost like a body, bro.
Yeah, you look so skinny.
I'm tiny, bro.
You just happen to be here, huh?
Bro, I haven't been this happy in like 6 months, bro.
Yeah, man. You just happy you're not at Disneyland, huh?
This fool broke me. Bro, I love the Disneyland too, bro.
I know, bro. All right, man. Good to have you here, Chris. What's up, fool? Oh, man. We had Martin Rizzo in Tempe, and that fool was doing other taping of the behind the scenes and taking photos. You know, because sometimes, man, I don't have time to do all that stuff, man. You got to get somebody to put a video up, let everybody know what's going on. You know, we're happy. We're living life to the fullest, having a good time. Namaste, motherfuckers. Yeah, so man. What's up, fool? So the fucking Saturday night, man. I don't know what's going on. Everybody says their goodbyes. I meet Martin Rizzo in the morning. This fool's talking about he met a cougar. Talking about she's 50 years old, twice his age. So what happened, bro? You tear it up. First of all, he's sharing a room with Rodrigo. So I heard he told me that he took her to the room and Rodrigo was sleeping. And then was somebody else in here? And as soon as she said, is someone else in here? You started farting, hot dog.
I knew what was going on, because the thing is, like, I can get woken up right away with any little creak of light and a mouse walks on the door. I want to exterminate it, right?
Rabbit stomp.
Binky. So this fool comes in. All right, cool. It's cool if you want to get laid or whatever, but doesn't this lady have a house, fool?
Yeah.
She's a native, dude, a teepee or something in the hallway. Whatever, it's cool, dog.
Make a reservation.
Yeah, tonight.
She's 50, bro.
I know, dude. She should already have inheritance money, dog. What's going on here?
50, man. Have stayed in a Burger King bathroom.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Digital.
Hey, man, what's in our parks where we were over?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Go take her underneath the gazebo.
Take her in a car.
Yeah, that's what. She didn't have a car either.
Which one by least take in a green room?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Fuck. There's a lock on the door. Yeah, man. Right?
You know what? I was going to say for now, we hit an hour to bring someone in the green room.
Oh,
bro.
Dude.
Right? Even backstage.
Yeah, dude.
Something, man.
The restroom.
This fool want to be romantic, but he wants to light candles.
Yeah. Over there, boy, she's smelling farts and feet. So, anyways, I knew somebody was coming, but I'm not hitting. You know what? Whatever, dude. Do your business, dude. I'm going to just go to sleep, but I can't sleep. So as soon as she opens the door.
What she saw, what happened was, bro, she looked on your side, bro. Oh, this guy's really young, man. He made a fort. But it was you laying down.
So I was covered up, though, but as soon as she came in, she washed her hands. I heard the little speaks and stuff, whatever. Okay. So I.
Is that a fort?
And I. That's Rodrigo. I sleep, dude. But I sleep only in my underwear, my tidy whitey. So I just took the covers off.
Yeah, bro. You sleep like fucking Mil Máscara, bro. You sleep like my dad, bro.
With no mask. White it's underwear. Hot, dog.
It gets hot.
And it's 65 degrees because I keep the fucking AC on kicking. You know what I mean?
It was 100 outside, bro.
So oh, my God.
Our room never got higher, lower than 72.
It was brutal, dog. After Saturday.
Someone hitting my windows hard.
Oh,
dog.
My God, dude. Put the couch up and block that fucking sun ray. So she walks in the door, she washes her hand, and I see her like, I can feel the energy of another body in there.
You can just know, bro.
And I feel that little fool's acting different, too. He's like trying to be quiet, turns on the light, then turns it off. It's like, motherfucker, use the light from your cell phone. Be slick, dog. So I take the fucking, I just take the covers off. I point my ass in the air because I had all that gas from Mexico City left, dog. Because I was eating all these fucking fruits and vegetables trying to fucking flush it all out. I fucking point my ass in the air, dog, so it can like fucking hit the wall. Then ricochet off the other wall and then hit her in the face, fool. You know what I'm saying? I'm like a sniper, bro.
I literally could shoot farts at that, bro.
Yeah, you know now, dog.
Joe Diaz.
And, bro, I'm going to tell you, Silent Bob, this is how you're going to gas the bitch. You know what I'm saying? We sleep like doctors. We can't sleep like that when there's women in the room, especially old fucking ladies. What is it? It's fucking grandma and his mom at the same time, cocksucker. So, fool. So as soon as she fucking speaks, fool, I fucking adjusted my butthole, fool. Like, dude, it was like I was adjusting my sights, fool. And the mama, fool, it's like smoking weed from Mexico, dog, and you're fucking popping all the seeds in the joint, fool. It was like Ivan described someone's mom. It was ferocious, bro. Fool, and then I'm sure the fucking smell with all the fucking, I mean, there's an old test in my stomach.
His shoes stink?
Oh, dude, this little motherfucker.
Brand new shoes.
A fool that weighs 90 pounds take off
and
his
brand
shoes.
Brand new shoes.
And it smells like a fucking dumpster, fool. It's like, damn, dude, what's going on with the youth of today?
The fool.
Youth.
Well, I thought he took a plane, bro. He fucking took a skateboard. I went all the way to Tempe.
I was going
to
say, youth, the nigga's 30, dog. Come on, fool. So anyways, so I'm all, and then she was all, and there was a pause, fool, in the conversation, right? And like a pause, like, I don't know whether to throw up or run out of the door. So, fool, that was just round one, dog. Well, I buckled down for some fucking pulpo fucking carnitas or chicharrones. Douche, douche, douche. Fool, I gassed them like Auschwitz, fool. No survivors, dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. So that's what happened, fool. And then she goes, okay, I'll see you later. Bye. And so he walks out, and you can tell him he's in the hallway, like, doesn't know what to do.
It's like, and I asked him, how come you go to her house? She lived 40 miles away.
That's 20 Uber minutes. Dog. That's what I'm saying. What the fuck?
There are so many places to have sex around the building, bro.
I don't get it.
Take
it
under the orange, the swimming pool, bro.
Right.
Nobody's there.
Fuck no. And my whole thing is like, dude, if I'm sharing a room with somebody, dude, I mean, you know, if you bring somebody in the room to have sex and it's not your house, you know a fool's going to be peeking. You know a fool's going to be... I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Rubbing her feet.
Just popping the
toes. Specking your ass.
But, yeah, come on, dog. You got to... I mean, a chick's not going to want that unless she's a freak, you know?
I know. He catfished her, bro. He catfished her. He told her he had a room.
Oh, yeah, dude. He can't take that.
He could have went to Chris Doran's condo.
Yeah, he's all...
And yeah, bro. He could have stayed in the living room, bro.
He told him in the morning, bro, and I would have switched rooms with you, bro. You can do whatever you want, bro. You got tough times with old ladies, bro.
That was that old lady's fault, bro.
Yeah, I was like, how can an old lady be 50 and be unprepared, fool?
I know.
First of all, if you're 50, I'm not even going to talk to you.
50, bro.
What, you want a hug? What, are you going to teach me the ABCs? You're going to teach me the timetable. Square root of 47.
She's going to put me to bed.
What the fuck, dude? Can you sing lullabies, dog?
What's up, fool? Not to talk about the weather, but it was 107. Over.
Oh, my God. Sunday was hot, huh, fool?
It was hot. We didn't do nothing but stay in a hotel.
We went to the mall a little bit and came back.
That's why I went to the Arizona Mills Mall, man. That motherfucker was sweaty.
It was even warm. Everybody was sucking the cold air out of there with their hot-ass bodies, dude.
It was like 107 outside, and there was like around, I don't know, a lot of people at the mall.
Packed.
And it was moist in there. It was...
Humid, fool.
Humid, man.
Yeah, it was with the Arizona Mills Mall. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was cool, though. Fucking got a little bit of gear, right?
Got me some pants from Perry Alice. What's up, fool? Shout-outs. Upcoming shows.
Go for it.
May 25th through the 28th. I'll be at the Irvine Improv. That's today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, check this out. Friday's second show is sold out. All right? Tonight's show is sold out, okay? Tonight's show is sold out. Saturday's show is sold out. There's still some tickets left for Sunday, but hurry up because we added a second show on Sunday at 9:30. So all these shows are sold out at the Irvine Improv. So I would say I'll see you guys next time. June 1st through the 4th, Arlington, Texas at the Arlington Improv. Plenty of tickets available. Next week, we're coming. See you there, fool. July 1st, Tucson, Arizona, at the Ava Amphitheater with Paul Rodriguez.
Hola. Hey.
We'll be doing comedy before the concert with Tierra Malo and Ward. In July, I'm also coming to Corpus Christi, Texas, Tampa, Florida, and Des Moines, Iowa. Tell everybody. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour for other show dates. And the rest of the year, okay, we have a special shout-out from a veteran, a guy who served time in the military. And he wrote us a nice tweet. Check this out. We're going to read it. Shout-out to @XOMateo on Twitter. XOMateo. Follow him. Tell him thank you for providing and protecting us from terrorism all over the world. @XOMateo. M-A-T-T-E-O. X-O-M-A-T-T-E-O. Tell them thanks. What's up, fool? Hey, I'm blind. And I just got out the military after 10 years. Military Intelligence Unit. I'm Mexican, but I look white. I'm a Miklo. I just want to say thank you. And Rodrigo, you guys helped me when I got in my accident. I just put your podcast on and just had been blind for 3 months. I want to say thank you. You helped me and entertained me throughout my whole problem. All my family is gang related. norteños used to be. Now what's up? Now they got out, but chilling with you guys, I felt like I was at a pachanga party just talking shit about life. It's cool, man. I'm starting a podcast with a guy who delivered my weed. He's from El Salvador. He worked the door at Cobb's. We're going to sign a peace treaty, man. Wouldn't that be cool? End violence. I lost all my friends in Salinas due to prison or death. I'm trying to find new friends now. I just want to say I live near Cobb's in San Francisco. If you ever need a place to chill in San Francisco, you got one. All right, fool. Thank you very very much at my XO Mateo, bro.
Hell yeah.
Intelligence, bro. He got blind in the military.
Looking forward to it, though.
And now he has full fucking, gonna start a podcast, bro.
That's what's up, man. That's fucking cool. It's gonna
be I See a Cerote podcast.
Or I Don't See One.
That'd be a good name, I See a Cerote podcast.
There he is.
Everyone who reviewed on the iTunes, Chancla Van Damme in the IE.
That's what's up, Chancla. What's happening?
Chancla Van Damme in the IE. Commutes from Indio to Victorville 5 days a week and says the podcast keeps him from crashing like John Jones on a crack bender.
Damn.
Geo662. Whoa, man. Before we even move on, man.
Check
this out. I am moving, man.
Right.
L.A. I'm out of Glendale. I'm going back to the L.A. County.
That's what's up, fool.
Let me fix my headphones right here. Okay. Cool. As you guys know, man, Rodrigo weighs a waist 38. 38, 30. And I wear a waist 42, 30 sometimes. Well, almost all the time, but lately. I also have pants that are 40, 30. And I have a lot of shirts that are extra large. Because I have a long torso, man. Like I keep saying, I'm on torso.
You're on torso, bro.
Like, most time I'm wearing, like I can't reach the gas pedal and my fucking head hits the top of the car. I have shorter legs than I do a torso.
Fucking stunt, man, Rasa.
I'm on torso, bro. I'm like a full Nelson.
Okay, put your ass
like,
in the
I can help you carry the couch, but I gotta be on the bottom of the stairs. I can't be on top.
You put up a picture of that little dog, fool.
I mean, one time I was walking around, some guy goes, man, hey, bro, you got some nice leather pants, bro. They're boots. Anyway, so, like, I can't, it's funny, when I was in a car, and I couldn't reach, he goes, I was trying to move the seat forward, and I couldn't anymore. And he goes, that's it? You don't feel tired, because I'm all big, right? The cab guy goes, you don't feel like, stop now, man, I'm all right. Look at my legs, bro. I couldn't even reach the front of the car. But I could reach the back, bro. I could fuck the, like, if I had kids in the back seat, I could fuck them up, bro.
My nassles, dog.
Anyways, dog, so enough of a torso.
All bunny, no hop.
So the point is, man, we're moving out, and I'm going to invite anybody that wants to come down to our old house, and we're going to have a fat man yard sale.
Yeah, man.
Fat man yard sale. Plus some furniture for sale. A lot of merch, a lot of old merch we don't sell no more. A lot of old CDs. You have a lot of shirts, concert t-shirts, right?
I got a lot of stuff I got to get rid of, dude.
Any Deftone stuff?
No Deftone stuff.
Of course not. But you have a lot of other shirts, right?
Yeah,
a lot of
some.
Vintage. Rodrigo's stuff, by the way, man, he's a neat guy, man. Like, he don't, all my shirts, bro, they've been masturbated on and rewashed. I guarantee you. That's not a tie-dye shirt, bro. Anyway, so.
Give it to Honest John. Eh?
Yeah. I think that's why Honest John wears those shirts. So our Rodrigo shirt are on point. And we're going to be selling a lot of fat man stuff, like 38 and up.
Yeah, man.
A lot of my tennis shoes will be out there, man. I might be selling my coat from the first special.
Oh, shit.
A lot of stuff will be there for sale. We have a guest here, man. His fucking khaki might be for sale. If you guys like Shantz.
Get him a romper.
Anyways, man. So, yes, man. We're going to have a big yard sale, man.
In a couple of weeks.
A lot of the What's Up Food podcast posters will be on sale, too.
Hell yeah.
At a discount, but they'll be on sale. Yeah. I love my CD. You have a CD?
Negativo.
Your shirts will be on sale.
Yeah, I'll have them.
But most of my t-shirts will be like $2.
Are you giving out an address for this?
Not yet, man. We're still living there, man.
That motherfucker's showing up tomorrow, huh?
I don't want people to show up. Hey, hola, man. Just come here, check out that stove, man.
You
want to
smoke a bowl, dog?
I know, man. Everybody don't hit a bowl now, bro.
You got McDonald's.
Yeah,
bro.
You
got
to be careful, right?
What's up, fool? What else we got?
But we'll announce next
week. Yeah, so Nate, we'll be in June, man. A lot of, we're going to have, like, if you're looking for clothes, you know, an iron is broken. You want to stop by and say hi, man, you know?
Lingers, dog.
Linger, bro.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Cro-Magnon.
Dreadhawk.
Dreadhawk.
He gave him a shout out already.
He brought a merch, bro.
He's the one that made the meme about Flacco, the ambulance. Flacco's limo, dog.
That fool showed up. He gave me a shopping bag, you know, for Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
He gave me a shirt, a hoodie. And the
oh, that's Cro-Mag.
Cro-Mag gave me all that gear.
Does he work at Whole Foods?
Yeah, he worked. No, I met him at Whole Foods.
Yeah, he's
Cro-Mag.
He's a vegan. He's a cute triathlon.
He has a little Miklo son.
Yeah. He has a. He's
triathlon.
Yeah, he's like a hardcore athlete, dude.
I used to be a triathlon, bro. I did heroin, coke, and PCP at the same time. What's up, fool? All right, man. So. Anything you want to add, bro? Any shout-outs you forgot?
No, just the Riverside show is on for next week at Romano's, the concert lounge, with Armando Cosillo. He'll be in the house. And I eat Chinese food with tortillas. And thank you very much for everybody that came out to the Dia de los Puercos show in West Covina. We'll be having one again. We'll let you guys know.
Before we start, man, anything else?
Other than that, that's it. Check out the Yeah Man podcast.
Okay, this is my editorial of the
your column
of the week. My column. This is something that really upset me, man. This week. I mean, it really upset me a lot. I just cannot shake it off, bro.
Let us know.
I wanted to tell you in Tempe, but I don't want to lose my mind, bro.
What happened? For what's bugging you?
It has to do with Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy.
What happened? Bro?
You know that fool, he did a whole month, right? He couldn't do stand-up comedy because of his sickness or whatever, personal issues, right?
Right, he was training, I think.
He was training, mm-hmm. You know, and he was sick. And, you know, he gave away, he gave up probably, $500,000 worth of work, right?
Right.
Because he was sick, right?
More, probably.
A lot more. Yeah. Probably a million. And he was sick, right? And he did like a little bit of tours, not too much, you know. But he's trying to go out less and less, you know, with people.
Right.
So this is what this chick posted a photo. My brother wants to go to your show so bad. He's in the hospital now. Can you go see him? Don't you know that? Can you go see him? So, obviously, like, he's too busy. He's on a tour bus. He doesn't have time to stop, make a U-turn, and go to see this guy, right? This chick had all her friends tag him all day.
Are you serious?
All day.
Bugging the hell out of him.
Tagging him. Reposting it. Tagging
relentless.
It. Fucking lingering ass bitch, bro. I mean, her brother's gonna die.
Right.
There's a lot of sick people, bro.
What can you do to save them anyway?
I know, man. But I heard that Gabriel sells that miracle water, though.
From the Vatican or what?
Dude? Yeah, miracle water, Vatican water.
Bro. Well, you drink that miracle water, bro, and your fucking welfare check shows up early.
Get a double tax break here or what?
Nah, bro.
Jesus,
but it just irks me that lady, like, Didn't she go back a month ago and find out that he's sick too?
Oh yeah.
He don't have time to go over there and shake hands, man.
He's gonna have to put his life on.
But if he didn't show up, he's too Hollywood.
What an asshole.
Oh, what an asshole he is. What a piece of shit. Gabriel doesn't think about us anymore. He just thinks about his Volkswagens. You know what I mean? It would just upset me, bro. Like, bitch.
I get it.
A fucking selfish ass bitch, dog.
That's how it gets.
Your brother's sick. He's all right. Gabriel doesn't have the healing power to cure him.
Yeah,
there's going to be other shows.
He's not a physician, lady.
Oh, man.
The nerve.
The nerve, bro. you know what's going to happen next year, right?
It's going to get ridiculous.
Whether her brother dies, just say her brother dies.
Right.
He don't die. Oh, man. Just the example that's going to happen if her brother dies. Our brother's dead, Gabriel. You know, we're sad. You know, I thought maybe you'll give us free tickets, bro, for our whole family. And we could get all reunited, like we were at the hospital together the day we show up. And we could just take photos in honor of my dead brother. That would have been the next letter. Now, this is a letter if that bitch brother would have not died. oh, man, my brother's alive because you put a big smile on his face. But the hospital bills has been fucking us up, man. And we have no money to go to your show anymore because the tickets are like $35. I was thinking, man, if you could, like, maybe if there's any extra tickets, you know. Okay. And so she gets the extra tickets, bro. This is the next email after she gets the tickets. Gabriel, is there any way, man, that you could get us? Because we're in the back of the line right now, and we're trying to get in, and my brother's in a fucking wheelchair, and we're just trying to get into the show, man. Okay, now they're in the show, right? Oh, Gabriel, we're in the show, man. We're way in the back seat, man. I thought maybe we could go backstage and meet you, man. My brother wants to thank you now, man, because of your miracle water. He can walk now, man.
Hallelujah.
They're asking for a lot, huh?
Oh, my God. Why don't you just make a part of his act and move it in the house?
That reminds me, bro, of that Bob and Tom show. Bob and Dave show.
Yeah.
When they go visit that little bird motherfucker with the little wristbands.
A little jerky piece of meat.
Yes, yes.
Because you know how hard it is to go visit a bird motherfucker, right?
Dude. But just to put it, let's go with your life right now, with what's going on with you, fool. How many people try to get at your ass? They don't understand that, dude, each of those tickets, all right, say you give somebody a ticket, all right, it's a value of $25. You still got to pay the club that value that they sell to you for, whatever it's valued at. It costs you money.
It gets taken out of
if you give somebody a shirt, you paid for that shit. I mean, you're not going to get it for what you sell it for, but you pay to get that shirt made.
I just
effort to get that shirt to your show.
The nerve, bro. Those are you understand, like, where were you with the hospital? Did you go visit with the hospital? Oh, man.
Nowhere, fool.
But this was the kicker. There'll be a chocolate cake waiting for you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know they both focus diabetic, bitch?
Yeah.
Trying to kill his
ass. Trying to kill him?
People give him cakes, right? Every city.
I understand, man. The nerve, man. I probably would have went too, but still, man. The nerve will keep asking.
Well, that's why people get so reclusive, dude. You can't. In any ways, like, dude, Jesus Christ couldn't satisfy everybody. Let it you guys.
That's what they fucking
I think the thing you said about he's sick. Like you battled some stuff, right? You know, yeah. I've battled some stuff. Like when it's fresh, you're on a razor's edge, and people got to respect that. Like,
they don't respect that.
Like even that U-turn to go back might be just enough to push somebody back on the bad path. You know,
oh, dude, it's fucking amazing what these people want, dude.
Pull over the. I noticed on your tracking device, Gabriel, that your bus is going to make a left turn around 10:59 p.m. Is there any possible way that me and my son can stop by there in that corner at that fucking cross light, and you could just maybe jump off and just take a photo with them real quick? Like, my son will really appreciate it. You know, my son gets all A's at school, and you're his favorite comedian.
And I'll bring a cake.
And I'll bring a cake.
Jesus, man.
You're not off, huh?
No.
And you're always, and I don't understand how someone could be Hollywood, bro.
Dude, you have to live your life too, dude.
I'll tell you, I got to tell you something.
The most Hollywood guy is right here next to us.
Yeah, right? Right? You know me.
Like when they mention Latino writers, his name pops up.
It does. That's right. That's right.
We have Peter Murrieta. We have enough. We cover our Latinos. We're safe.
Hey, I want to tell you about Hollywood. I'll tell you about Hollywood. You want to hear about Hollywood?
I want to. We got Peter Murrieta right here, people. A writer for the Cristela show. A writer for the fucking donut show.
Wizards of Waverly Place. What's the donut show? The donut shop?
Superior Donuts. The writer,
Lopez,
creator of
Lopez, Waivers,
Wizards
of Waverly Place. The show that first started with begging to be on every week.
Please bring me back.
So let me tell you real quick about Hollywood. It's so funny you brought that up. Because,
do tell.
My kid, when he was younger, he played Little League.
With Willie Barcena.
Yeah. This ain't a Willie story, though. But
a bunch of them, bro.
Oh, but
give us one later.
But we were up there, you know, and I was working. I think I was working on Wizards, you know, whatever. And my wife had an invitation she got from the temple we belong to because she's Jewish. And they were like, we're having a dinner to raise money to bring over this celebrity cantor. And I don't even know what that means.
Me neither, but it sounds important.
It does. It's very important. Yeah. So he sings in the temple, and he's from Israel, and we're bringing him over. And it's like $1,000 a plate to go to dinner to raise money, right?
I'll wash him.
And I say, I'm totally good with the guy we got now. I'm good. I don't need to spend that money. We don't have that kind of money.
This one's from Bethlehem.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. This one's from Bethlehem. We're good. We got the guy, local guy. I like the local guy. So then a week later, I go up to the Little League, and it's in Echo Park, and I love it there, and I love Sergio, who runs it, and we're having a parent meeting, and somebody says, hey, the microwave in the snack stand broke, and we're going to have a car wash on Saturday after the games to raise money to get a new microwave.
How much is that microwave?
About $300, you know, right?
Comes from Israel.
No, it's a big one, right?
For the
snack
stand. Oh, the big one.
Yeah, okay. So I say, and I'm not trying to be Hollywood, I just say, well, that's like $300, right? And I'm like, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I could just buy it for you. And then, Mr. Hollywood doesn't want to get involved in the car wash. Doesn't want to come out and wash cars with everybody. So I was like, no. I just want to spend $300 for your microwave. And got totally Hollywooded. Like, I'm a big asshole.
And those pieces of shit don't realize, they'd rather fucking struggle, bro. Instead of paying that shit right there, bro.
Fuck all that.
Because they know in the car wash, they could squeeze the extra $100 out of it, bro.
They're going to be able to skim off the top.
They're giving you $300, bro. That shit better go in a microwave.
Yeah.
But over there, they don't know how much they got in a car wash.
Yeah.
How many donations they got. You know, you got to take some.
Yeah.
There's no envelope to be involved like that.
That's right. That's right.
Case closed.
That's right. So anyway, yeah.
You're all Hollywood.
So I also feel like from what I was listening to when I first came in here, I just need to say, I don't even understand why, but I'm a 36, 32.
36, 32. Don't be lying, man.
Really?
I'm not.
A loose 36?
In shorts,
no,
right?
It's a tight 36.
Oh, really? Do you wear it like old man style but the belly button?
In elastic,
no,
right?
it goes underneath the gut.
Oh, okay, wow.
In elastic, right? Elastic shorts?
Yeah,
what's going on here?
Yeah, I only go about 5'9", guys. It's still fat.
A friend of ours, right? He lost so much weight because he got really sick, but now he's doing well. We were trying to guess his weight, and I was thinking, such, this fool was 29, 30.
Oh!
I was like,
That's high school. Yeah, that's high school.
29, third grade, 33, baby. I had to cuff my Levi's.
Yeah.
We got Peter here, bro. Not only that, Peter was a shot caller, bro, in my development deal, bro.
Hell yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That was fun.
A whole year working, huh?
Yeah, working hard for a whole
year.
Hard,
man.
And maybe my favorite thing that I've worked on.
It was really fun, huh?
It was really fun, and I love the script we got out of it. And we'll see what happens next, you know?
Because we're going to try to shoot it again next time, right?
Yeah, with Fox. Yeah, with Fox. So they like it. Yeah.
That was fun, man. I never been involved with anything like that.
It was good.
Just meeting every day.
My favorite story about that, and you got to tell it from your point of view, but we went into ABC. We've been working for 8 months. We're ready to pitch. You know the story I'm going to tell about Dave Miner? So we walk in the door. We all get situated downstairs. We get upstairs. I got to go to the John. I leave. My manager's there. And with all the goodness in your heart, you lean over to Dave and you say, hey, we should maybe mention when we get in the room that Peter's Mexican so they'll know because, you know, he doesn't look like it. And my manager goes, no. They know him. He's exactly the right amount of Mexican for them. We need to make sure they know that you're okay.
Yeah, man, that's Hollywood, dog.
That's Hollywood, right?
And how'd you guys meet? How did that happen?
I think we met, and I don't know if you remember this, but we met years ago when I went over to Lucy Zeladovi because Freddie Soto and Willie and Al Madrigal and I had a sketch show that we had sold to Sony, and then Freddie died. And they were still trying to put it together, and they were like, you got to go meet Gabriel because maybe he'll do it. And we went over to Lucy's, and Gabriel was there with you and Noe and a couple of other guys.
Oh, Lucy's...
No, the Mexican food on Melrose.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat and talked with you for about an hour, and that's when I first met you.
I don't remember, man. Lucy's where?
It's on Melrose by Paramount, right across the street. But that's when I first met you. Then you know, went years and years and years, and then met you again last year.
Because you were working with Dustin Ibarra. How did you connect with him?
Dustin and I met because of Hollywood, our agents. Our agents were like, oh, he wants to do something.
You're doing something. Put them together.
Yeah, put them together. We're both at the same agency. We both like each other. And I went and met him at somewhere on Sunset to see if we would get along.
We'll get to that, but with our story. But you ever like, they ever connect you with someone you just think, man, I got nothing with this guy.
Yeah.
I can't click. There's nothing here.
Yeah. Worst one.
How does that happen?
How do you not connect?
How do you, like, because I thought, like, you guys were writers are born to just go with the flow and fight.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, you try.
But you just don't click.
There's a guy, like there was a guy that they wanted me to meet, and I met, and, like, I got a call before the meeting, and they were like, oh, his manager wants to be a part of this. And I was like, that's cool, but this is a first date. Like, let's just see if we vibe and whatever first, you know. I don't really want to jump in all the way on that. And then they were like, no, that's cool. We get it. And then I sat down to meet with this guy, and, like, I don't know, 10 minutes into it, was at a diner. 10 minutes into it. Worst acting I've ever seen in my life. From another booth, the manager gets up and goes, Oh my God, what a crazy coincidence. I can't believe it. I swear to God, I had no idea you guys were meeting here. Oh my God. And then he sits down and becomes part of the meeting. And, like, so I'm in the middle of this. It's like being on a bad first date where you're like, I want to leave now, but I can't. So I have to pretend to go along with it for another 45 minutes and then bail.
Sounds like a Christopher Guest movie. And Eugene Levy showed up.
It kind of does. Or like that old movie with Kevin Bacon where, like, the manager.
The
Martin Short is like, hey, I hate you. Call me. Like that.
Oh,
shit.
My God.
Damn, dude.
That's some Ernie G shit, huh?
It's like an episode of Hollywood Squares.
Right. So anyway, I don't know.
Hey. Your chocolate and my peanut butter.
Yeah, what about that? So there's that.
Fuck,
you know?
Man. God damn. Yeah. That's a Hollywood. Eh?
Yeah.
Kill Me was a bad acting. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I can't believe this.
You gotta do that one, dude.
Take this dude.
How about anybody that keeps saying over and over again, I swear to God, I had no idea. And you're like, well, I think you had totally an idea.
Got the suspect.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So you do, but you do try to go with the flow. You try to meet people and try to see if you can help them.
So he was working with Dustin Ibarra, and I was working with Bobby. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then you know Bobby, right?
I know. Bobby's my neighbor.
He's your neighbor.
Yeah.
You guys started talking?
Yeah, we just were walking down the street. I was going to get coffee.
Bobby Bowman, bro.
And we were talking about, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm doing this thing with Dustin. I'm doing this thing with Felipe. I go, I know Felipe.
He has long hair.
And and then we started talking about what we were trying to do. And we're like, well, obviously at some point we're both going to be pitching a show competing with each other. Why don't we figure out if these guys get along, maybe we could do something together. And here's what we could probably spend all day talking about. Then we had to do, because Bobby's a smart guy and a good guy, and I'm a good guy, I think, and try to be a smart guy. We're like, well, first, we have to find out if Felipe and Dustin have beef, because I don't want to start something and find out there's trouble, right? Because you want to do that. And so we checked in, and, you know, like, no, I think he's great. And so then we met up to talk, but, like, there's so much beef everywhere when you get involved.
Have you ever had any experiences of that where you didn't know beforehand and then you got together and there was internal clashes or stuff like that that happened?
Uh-huh.
There was beef? Who, man?
Where's the
well,
beef?
Well, you know, a long time ago, you know, I tried to help out Willie with something, and he had shot something on his own, and I tried to come in and give him notes after the fact with him and his manager.
Was that that show that Willie was working with Jay Leno?
Oh, no, that's even before that. When he was working with Jay Leno.
Are you talking about that movie?
He shot a small movie about him being a dad, like, on his own.
Yeah.
And
that's the real dark one where he's doing coke?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man.
Well, that's the one after Jay Leno.
That's the one after.
Real dark.
So the Jay Leno one actually is the way I met Willie was... Somebody wrote that script. This was when I first got to Hollywood. Someone wrote that script. I don't remember his name.
His name is the guy from Seinfeld. I don't know his name. Kurt, long hair.
Don't know.
He has long hair, and he wrote an episode. He did one.
Larry Charles, maybe?
Larry Charles.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So he wrote the first script, and then for whatever reason...
He, like, wrote it with Weedy Willie one time.
Okay. So for whatever reason, it didn't go forward. And then I was new to town, and my agent sent me to meet somebody over at NBC, an exec. And then we, after the meeting was over, because I think I talked about when I was a kid, I used to, my grandfather was a mechanic at a car dealership. Okay. And I said, oh, we have this show about a guy who works at a car dealership that Jay's doing with this guy, Willie Barsena, and it needs somebody to come in and do a rewrite. And so I got, that was like one of my first jobs, was meeting with Jay and working with Jay on this rewrite for Willie.
Cool.
And it was super cool. Jay was super cool. Like, and it's so funny because right when I started meeting with him was sort of after the Letterman thing and people were picking sides and everything. And I was like, well, I don't know. When I go meet him, he's incredibly nice and he's incredibly funny and really smart. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about him. And it was a great experience. But then towards the end of it, and I don't know what happened, the network was like, Willie's out, not doing it. I don't know if he pissed anybody off or what happened, but like, it's not going on. So it was one of those situations where I finished the rewrite and turned it in just to get my check, and but I knew it was not happening. But then later, he shot something on his own with some managers. It wasn't the one where he was doing coke, but it was something about a dad, and he used the baseball field we all worked on, and I went in to give him notes on it, and, you know, I guess he kind of had beef with me, and I didn't know about it, and I kind of walked into it, and it was like a lot of stuff that I didn't have any idea about, and I felt bad about, and I got the hell out. You know, I'm like, I'm volunteering my time, so.
Didn't feel right.
I'm not going to jump into someone who wants to be critical of me as a person. I'm good.
After that, what you do? How'd you get started with Wizards?
Wizards was a thing where
you
created,
right?
I did not actually on the title card create.
I'm telling everybody you created.
That's fine.
You're the show.
I was a showrunner. Yeah. I was a showrunner.
What's a showrunner for people who don't know?
It's somebody who's the head writer and also
producer,
the head
director,
producer,
everything, huh?
And make sure that the director you want, he's kind of in charge of the show, in charge of delivering the show.
Everything goes through you.
Everything
you get
goes
all the bad
you.
Calls. Like, yeah. Change the actor.
Yeah, all of it. All
you
got
to deliver sad news or
sad
someone
news,
else does it for you?
Good news? No, I do it.
Ooh.
Tough.
So you must get a lot of people going to your office.
Yes.
So you literally could do what Steve Harvey did. Huh?
I could. I used to have my assistant. Was one of my assistant's jobs was when I was leaving my office to go to the set or to my car or to editing. One of his jobs was to walk with me with like a clipboard or some papers or whatever and act like we were talking about something super important. Because I was like, I don't need to be bothered right now. I need to get where I'm going. So I did the subtle version of the Steve Harvey thing. Like, I didn't make an announcement. I was just like, I'm going to be super busy when I leave here so nobody can kind of grab hold of me. But I came back from New York. I was doing a show, and Disney handed me a script called The Amazing O'Malleys. And it was about an Irish family that owned a magic shop and had powers. And I read it, and they asked if I wanted to get involved in it. And I was like, well, sure, but there's some things I'd like to change. And I think because I'm half and half, it'd be cool to make the family half and half and find some Latino actors and stuff like that and maybe move it out of a magic shop and have it be a more fun environment or whatever. And so they let me do that, and that's how we started that show. So that was awesome. My job.
And you made a Latino?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's the second time they made a show Latino, because Dora the Explorer was about to be a little Irish girl.
Oh, yeah?
Without being Latino.
She was. Yeah, we were really Latino.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was the
fun. Yeah, go ahead.
Who was the lead?
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez.
And Maria Canals Barrera.
She was on
the mom.
Cristela show, right?
She was on Cristela. She played Cristela's sister. And David DeLuise, Dom DeLuise's son.
Oh,
for
wow.
Anybody that remembers Hollywood Squares. And yeah, it was fun. It was a great time. Four years. I did 3 years, and then Disney fired me. And I didn't do the last year.
Come, they fired you.
I think I was difficult. I wanted things my way, and I think they grew tired of that. To be fair, but I was making a great show, and we won 3 Emmys. So I thought we were cool.
That's bitching, though.
I thought we were cool, but it turns out we weren't. So I didn't do the last year.
What'd you work on after that?
I did a show for Cartoon Network, but it was live action, called Level Up. It was about a bunch of kids who had some monsters come out of a video game in their town, and they had to, like, really fight monsters and put them back in the video game. So it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons or like World of Warcraft come to life.
Did Ray Romano's mom come on in that one? Like a couple of episodes?
No.
I saw her in a movie when she would play computer, but not grandma.
No. You know who was in that was Amy Carrero, who does a lot now. She's the voice of Elena, the first Latina Disney princess.
Oh, wow.
And a guy, Jesse Usher, who's on a show that LeBron James produces now. And Eric Andre was in the pilot.
Oh, yeah?
Of it, yeah. And then he was like, I'm going to do a crazy thing where I take off my clothes instead of this kid's show. So he bailed. And so I did that. And then I wanted to get into more back what I started, which was more adult primetime stuff. And so then I went did Cristela, and then I did Lopez, and I did One Day at a Time, and now Superior Donuts.
You're working on Lopez, the show now, or Lopez, the original show?
No, the show that he's doing now.
But you were not always Hollywood, huh? You were a Tucson guy.
Tucson guy, yeah.
Party animal, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
So you've been sober how long?
Oh, gosh, 26 years.
26 years. So you started working in Hollywood as a writer when you sobered up?
Oh, yeah. I came out here sober and married.
What'd you do in Tucson? Gangbanging?
All of it.
Yeah?
No, not gangbanging. No, but I did whatever you had, man. Whatever you had, I'd do.
That's me right there, man.
Yeah.
Binges?
Oh, yeah.
So you could stop and live
anybody
a normal life.
Party.
Huh?
Anybody is a party says, hey, we found these pills. We don't know what they are. Who would? Oh, okay.
Give it to Peter.
Yeah, he'll do it.
The pumpkin eater.
Talk to Pete.
Yeah. I remember being on a roof of a house during a party and thinking, if I tuck properly, I could jump off this roof from somersault and come up standing. I remember doing shit like that. And, you know, didn't work out so great. No bones broken, but I remember landing and thinking, I'm just going to lay here a while.
And were you working there, like as a writer? Like
I was in college. I was in college, and I was trying to get a degree that I didn't. And I was doing sketch comedy, worked at a little theater downtown, and did some plays and stuff. But nothing, you know, that didn't start till Chicago. I moved to Chicago in '89.
Oh, wow.
I saw Second City come to Tucson, and I was like, "Oh, I want to do that." So I moved to Chicago.
Did you join Second City?
Yeah, yeah, I loved it.
So how long were you there for?
5 years.
5 years sober.
Yeah. Couple slips, but yeah, working hard there.
What made you sober up?
I was asleep in the in a construction site of an office building that was just framed, but it wasn't built out, and I was sleeping on a pallet of drywall because I was on the run and I didn't want people to come to my house because they were going to steal my shit. And I thought, this is not probably a long-term plan. But that was sort of my bottom right there. I was like, okay, that's could be done with that. That's probably time to start figuring something else out. And so that's when it started.
But you were crazy in high school, like beer runs?
I think I started it in high school, but I was trying to still keep my shit tight. Like I was trying to get good grades, but not studying much and trying to kind of ease on by, but doing a little bit of work and
maintaining.
Yeah, I was maintaining. I was like a lot of, you know, Peter's not living up to his potential from teachers and shit like that. And then it kind of really went nuts in college and needed to be corralled.
Right, I actually get that from a teacher. Felipe not living up to his potential.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't know what potential, bro.
Yeah. And now that I got kids, when you hear that, I know what it means now. Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to him when I get home.
Did you play baseball in high school?
I did, yeah. Not very good, though. My son's good.
Yeah?
But I wasn't very good. Did you play?
Yeah, I did. I played not in the high school team. I was in the swimming team.
Oh, yeah?
I played Little League, and I played semi-pro with, like, Saturday League and Tuesday Leagues.
Uh-huh.
And night playing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wasn't that great, but just, like, playing, man.
That's fun, isn't it?
I like having two uniforms that I could get used to. I had a Saturday league where I play with older men, and I have my league on Tuesday with baseball high school dropouts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so our league was 17 to 19 with the Tuesdays, and the other league was 17 to whatever age you were in.
So it was a lot of older guys? So
a lot of older guys from Pico Rivera who were really good.
Really good?
Look at those guys.
This is hardball or softball?
Hardball.
The I don't know the names, but one of the guys who was a coach – at my oldest's Little League, used to play semi-pro. So he would come to coach sometimes in his uni because he was playing Sunday League or Saturday League. And they would go down to Mexico once a year and play a team from the town that they were all from. And he came back from one of these trips, like, freaked out. And he told me that while they were there, one of the guys on his team got kidnapped. And because I guess they found out that this guy owned, like, a tile company up in the valley and was doing okay. And so he got kidnapped, and they wanted a ransom. And this shit got worse from there. Like, he was – so he's kidnapped, and he had a ransom. And in the process of getting the ransom together, it comes out that he's got two families. He's got a family up here, and he's got a family down there. So now people are pissed. And so I guess they cut off his finger to prove they had him. They got the ransom, and then he got dropped off in San Diego and went to the hospital, two divorces, losing his business, and he doesn't have a finger. That's a fucked up weekend.
One thumb up.
That's a fucked up weekend, right? That is not.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
I guess so, but that is not a baseball trip you want to take, man.
So he stopped playing baseball?
I guess he had to, right?
Can't throw my knuckle no more.
He's a bat boy now. Damn, man. That's a good story, though.
How'd they find out he had two families?
I guess they put out like a notice, like to like, does anybody know anybody
that
would have kidnapped
shit?
Him and whatever. Yeah, and through the process of the investigation, I guess, like, his wife called and his other wife called the hospital or something, and it was all bad. All bad.
They got that play up.
One of the families sent those people, huh?
Now, what they do is they scout. They do all the
That's
homework.
What I'm saying. They scout. They
see
were
who's
like,
making money, and if you're connected, they don't mess with you. If you're not connected and you're vulnerable, they'll get your ass. And if you don't act right.
You see any thugs and you see any crazy-looking motherfuckers in Mexico City?
You do, but in Mexico City, like, every block, there's a cop.
They'll whoop your ass,
yeah,
huh?
It's like, they don't mess around too much, but what is, like, if you're, like, a high roller, a lot of them have bodyguards now because
really? All
the kidnappings are starting to surge again. But that's for people that got money. But and also in those communities, like, say, for instance, the gate guy, he'll start giving info to those guys, you know, everybody's paid to play, you know? But it's a lot to deal with, and you have to know the game down there. That's all it is, you know? It opens up new money versus old money, all types of shit. You know,
it's all different. Scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're used to it or not, it is. But you know, it's
I feel
a lot
like
of hearsay
when things. I was younger, before I had gray hair everywhere, and I lived in Chicago, I would go to any neighborhood I wanted, and I don't feel like I'm tough, but I feel like I kind of keep my head down. I know shit where I grew up. Like, I can kind of just be straight and narrow. And I remember my mom visiting, and like we were on the elevated train, and I went over to make a phone call, and she was like alone, and I saw some guys starting to come around her, you know. And I always remember that now that I'm older, because I'm out and about by myself, and I think, when am I going to be the old fucker? At what point am I old enough that they're going to go, there's an older guy,
snatch you up,
let's
quick.
Fucking get him. Not yet, but I'm worried. Am I in trouble? Am I in trouble?
Okay. That's when you know when you're old enough, huh? Well, you know you're old when that little fortune is coming around the old motherfucker.
And that's
yeah, that's what I
want
to know.
What time is it?
Will you tell me when I get there? Felipe, will you let me know?
Take his wallet.
Shit, by that time, bro, I'm over here carrying one of those old little leather little bag with a little metal on it. What they call it?
A blackjack?
A little Billy Jack, bro.
You're going to have that?
Hell yeah, man. Little dude, come here. What are you saying, Sonny? Bam.
Yeah? Sonny, you going to call him Sonny?
Come here, Sonny. What are you saying over here? And whack him in the forehead, right on the nose, bro. Break his nose.
And I don't think you could ever be too prepared, because when it happens, you ain't going to know what to do.
No.
That's the thing.
It's going to happen in a big city, bro.
Yeah.
And no matter how big you are, you all fall.
Yeah. 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 You
know, it's least expected shit.
But I'm counting on you to tell me when I've turned. It's going to be up to you. It's a lot on you.
You can't lift your neck.
Pay your help.
When you can't look at your celly in the eye, it's over.
This will go all the way to the belly of the beast. But the other thing, too, with all these cameras and shit that's going on, crime still happens.
I know, right?
Bro.
Do you know what somebody stole in my neighborhood yesterday? Somebody got
a pilot.
The ring. The ring, the doorbell thing. You know the you know what I'm talking about? It's called the ring, right?
Yeah.
Where the camera and the doorbell.
Yeah.
Okay, the minute those came out, I thought, well, if I'm a dude, I'm going to know what that looks like. And if I'm going to steal shit from your porch, I'm going to take that too. right?
Right.
So, sure enough.
You got to think that way, bro.
So sure enough, yesterday, somebody said a whole thing in my neighborhood, like, someone stole my ring and my packages. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
And on top of that, you see all those Facebook videos and everything. It's like, you have the ring and you're still getting jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's why I have the Nest.
The Nest.
I've upped it.
Technology. Huh?
That's why, man, if you don't want to get jacked, bro, you got to order the Dollar Shave Club, bro. It comes secured, bro. Nobody sees it.
Delivered to your
door. It comes hidden, bro.
Yeah.
What's up, fool? Today's episode is sponsored by Dollar Shave Club. Today's episode, Dollar Shave Club, bro. Jigo uses Dollar Shave Club, man. Yeah, Look at that face.
Smooth like a baby.
Smooth, man. When you slap here, man, you don't feel no bristles. You feel a smooth face.
Your hand slides off.
Dollar Shave Club.
Looks
still
smooth
sponsoring
over here.
The What's Up Fool podcast. Rodrigo has been using it all month and loved it.
Yeah, man.
We've had some listeners who subscribe to Dollar Shave Club already and love it. Get your face smooth and ready for summer by joining Dollar Shave Club. It's the smartest choice. Am I lying? Yeah, man. A great shave at a great price. Conveniently delivered right to your door. Don't have to go to the store to get more razors, no more cheap shaves. Like Peter right here, he told I'll shave with the old school one, but you got to chop it with a leather.
Yep.
Comes with the awesome Dr. Carver Shaver Butter,
it's a key,
which helps prevent ingrown hairs and fight razor bumps. You too can make the smart choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. You still use it for real, though?
Yeah, dude. Well, that's a key for me is the Dr. Carver's shave butter, dude. That's what gets it really like nice and smooth.
How about just
different.
Send me the butter?
He has secret ingredients.
As one of our listeners, for a limited time, new members get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5. $5.
There you go.
Free shipping after that month. The razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. Your first box will arrive, and you'll get an awesome heavy handle razor, a focus set of four cartridges in a tube of their shave butter. And not only that, man, shit, if you have a razor bump and you're crying, Gabriel Iglesias will show up and say hello to you.
If you give him a cake.
Just tell him you have a cake and not to go Hollywood, you selfish bastards. But you know, a man, sometimes a man doesn't have time to go visit you. Sometimes a person has other issues, bro. Like, he has to get to Long Beach on time, man.
Yeah, his life.
And it's funny, man, like, I'm pretty sure they're not asking Adam Sandler to show up, bro.
I'm sure he does, but they can't get a hold of him.
I think you're right about that. No, I think you're right. I think those guys remove themselves from the day-to-day.
You can't, and especially now with social media. You're so accessible, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People know where that tour bus is.
Yeah.
No hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime you want. To get this deal, join today at dollarshaveclub.com/fool. Don't forget, dollarshaveclub.com/fool. That's dollarshaveclub.com/fool. Fool, what do you shave with, bro? Still with the old Bics?
I wish.
A straight razor.
I wish. I had to use one last week, though. An old Bic. An old white Bic with the orange.
The yellow tip?
Yep. Old safety razor that you got to put the razor in. And a brush and a mug.
Oh, that's an old school detective style.
Old, I did that school. One time.
Doc old Holiday, school, okay. Right? That's what I use. And then I fly back east. All of April, I was flying back east to see my boy play baseball. And so I didn't want to check any luggage, you know, carry any shit with me. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm not taking any of that shit because I don't want to be inspected.
Yeah.
So I got back there and I went to the store and I couldn't find anything. And I ended up buying Bic shavers. 99 cents for five.
Did it cut you up or all right?
Terribly. Cut me everywhere.
I did
terrible.
It once, man.
So your son's playing baseball. What college?
Kenyon College in Ohio.
Yeah. You got a scholarship?
Yeah, you got a little bit.
So your son used to play baseball with Willie Barcenas?
Yeah, Willie used to be his coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Coach B.
Coach B.
Coach Willie, dude.
Come on, bro. Challenge yourself. Give us some Willie against coach, bro.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell you something. I never played pro ball, bro, but I wanted to, bro. Here's what you gotta do, bro. All right, bro.
Shit.
You guys know Fernando Valenzuela? Me neither, bro. Tell you right now, bro. TJ wasn't built today. Just looks that way, bro. So get out there and swing, bro. Before I swing at you, bro. Forget what your dad told you, bro. Your little league coach, bro. Anyways, bro, have a good game, bro.
I know, just in the fake hat.
That was a good one, bro.
That was great.
You got it, dog. Challenge yourself,
good,
bro.
A good object work.
Dude, we ain't fighting with another coach, bro.
Hey, bro, I ain't playing, bro. All right, bro, this is baseball, bro. Have you heard of jiu-jitsu, bro? All right, bro. Gina, get my gi. Gina.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to kill him, bro. Why is he saying that, bro?
When's the last time you guys saw him?
Oh, I see Willie about 3.5 years ago.
That fool looks over the eye and shit.
Yeah, man. He's still out there doing it, right? Still,
yeah, hell yeah.
He's just online yesterday.
He writes a lot.
Yeah, he's working.
He releases a special like every other year.
What about Noe?
Noe Gonzalez.
Well, I don't know, bro. Last time I heard about him, bro, was like 5 years ago, bro. Gabriel cut him loose, bro. Now he's in the abyss somewhere in West Covina, bro.
Oh, my God. He used to take classes for my wife.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Before
what'd your wife
was
teach?
With Gabriel. She's growth. an improv
Is that
teacher.
When he showed up in for Mencia? Or those that era?
It was before he had done anything.
Really?
He was a kid working in his parents' restaurant in West Covina.
Long hair?
He would drive into Hollywood. And he would take acting and improv with her.
Okay, right.
And I remember when he did his first open mic, and she went and supported him and stuff. And then I told her he was with Felipe, and then you know, I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I haven't heard about Noe in a minute. It's been a while.
So what happened, bro? Why could Cristela show get canceled?
Oh, I don't know.
How'd you become a part of it? What happened?
I just went and met. Like I had.
You didn't write for the show?
I did write for the show. Yeah, but like when they did the pilot, like we did last year. That was with Cristela and my boss, other boss, Kevin Hench. And then when the show got picked up, they met white writers to fill out the room. And I was just one of the writers that met them and they hired. So I worked for them. And, you know, we did 22. We got our back nine. And it felt like we were pretty close to a pickup. And shit just went south. You know, they just decided not to do it.
What was missing, do you think?
Jokes.
In your humble professional opinion.
In my humble professional opinion, I don't think the show was promoted as much as it should have been.
But also, it was not a it was a Fox show, huh?
That show?
So they didn't really commit, right?
Yeah, and I think it was like I think it was more about like ABC feeling like they could do better. I think one of the things that always happens at that time of year is they got their new shit coming in and they're weighing it out. And our ratings weren't great. They were okay. And I think when they look at that, they go, well, we got this. We know what it is. And we got this other thing that's shiny and new. We wonder what the hell it is. And that year it was Dr. Ken.
Dr. Ken and Fresh Off the Boat.
You know, yeah,
Black-ish.
Yeah. But Dr. Ken was the thing that's replaced us. And I think probably if I was being professional about it, regardless of the quality factor, which is not mine to say, like professionally, and I don't know if people even care, but I think ABC was like, well, Cristela wasn't as known as the guy from The Hangover.
Yes, true.
We had a trouble promoting that show. So maybe if we do a show in its place with somebody who everybody already knows, maybe we'll do better. You know, and then I don't think they did much better, but they kept that on another year because I think they didn't have anything to replace it.
Wow.
It's not as sexy to say, but I think that's what happened.
Yes, Lisa?
Right on.
Like when I showed didn't get picked up, it was 5 shows not getting picked up.
Yeah.
Paul Rodriguez, right?
Yep.
And Paul Rodriguez, his son, and Cheech.
Yep. Al
Gina
Madrigal.
Gina Gershar.
Al Madrigal.
I'm going to go show too.
What? The you're talking about this year with ours?
This year's, yeah.
Yeah. Al Madrigal had a show with someone that I know, Al.
And Gabriel too. Follow
Gabriel
me.
Had one.
Gina Brion.
Gina had one. Shown. And
a Dominican guy too. Angela Johnson had a show too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So what's
I
your
think
it's
because Trump got elected.
I think that there were a lot of Latino shows this year,
like and 5. Think, that's more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's hard because the election happened, and I think people realized that they had been forgetting about a whole other group of people that maybe watch TV, and they had to race to see if that need needed to be filled. I think that the challenge every year is how do you do a show that's Latino that people think that everybody will watch. And I
make
think
me a veteran.
Right. There you go. You should have been a vet.
I should have been a U.S. veteran, yeah. Bro, living in a shack.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure, by the way.
With conservative views that don't even make sense.
How about conspiracy theories, too?
Yeah, it would be a funny one, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
We'll do that, bro.
Yeah, let's do that. So I think it's that, and I also think it's hard because I think that when you put something on the air that doesn't work, it makes it harder for people to then to step up and try again. They get risk adverse. And so I think it's that. But I think something will happen. Look, Lopez got a second season. One Day at a Time got a second season. And, you know, that's great.
One Day at a Time. That's on Netflix.
Yep. And so we'll see. Maybe next year. I try not to be bitter about that stuff because I got to go
work, huh?
Right. Yeah. That's your world. You live in it.
Yeah. I know, imagine, we got a guy who's actually in the business, bro, working. We got fucking comedians crying every day, bro, in shitty-ass rooms. They don't get Latinos a chance, dog, without even being in there.
And they don't actually know what's really going on, too. So it's like, you know, a wildcat opinion.
Yeah.
Do you think in those five shows do you think there's any similarities? Do you think there's any stuff that's been like
a
reoccurring theme that's always been?
Oh, sure. I think I'm going to talk about, to answer your question, I want to talk about a movie I saw last night.
Okay.
Called Lowriders.
Oh, my God. I walked out of the trailer on that one.
Oh, buddy.
Not even one oldie song. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. So I went and took my boy to Man's yesterday, Chinese.
They're all fancy Hollywood, eh?
Yeah, right? Validated parking, dude. Four people in the movie theater.
Four?
Me, him, two other people.
They got free tickets.
Opening, I was done. I actually got up in the middle of it, and I was like...
And you're into cars.
I'm into cars. And I was like, I got up in the middle of it. And I told Joaquin, I was like, hey, I got some emails and I got to take a leak. So like
Hollywood.
I'm going to head out to the lobby. And like in 10 minutes, if you are into it, let's bounce. So like I went out and like 10 minutes later, I hit him up and I'm like, I'm ready. And he goes, well, you know, they're making a new car. Cause the other one, what happened to the other one? And like, maybe we should stay to just see how the new car looks. And I was like, all right. So I went in and finished the movie. And I was like, okay. So we got in the car to go home. And he was like, that started out okay. And then it got really bad. And then it didn't end badly. It was pretty okay at the end. And he goes, what do you think happened there? And I was like, it felt like I was watching a movie by people who mean well. They want to give a leg up. But they don't necessarily know what to do besides that. I'm talking about producers or studios. So it ends up being somebody like the three of us that they go, we're going to make a movie for you guys. We get very excited and we're like, what do you want? We're so excited that you're going to write a check for us. What do you want? What do you want? And so we're going to feed them what we think they want and what they think they want, which is like a fractured father-son relationship and then a mom that's dead and a tribute to the mom and a tattoo and like
the white girl joins the hood.
The white girl comes, there's a white
girl. Boulevard Nights.
You
like
know?
Big like fucking my name is like the movie Duke of World, bro. That white girl gets jumped into the hood. She has to learn about Latinoisms.
See, and I think
the old jokes are back.
And so I think
her fucking parents hate us.
I think it's all good.
They did in La Bamba.
But then you run after because you feel so grateful that they're going to give us a movie or give you a movie that I don't even think it's selling out. You're just excited. And so you're like, oh, will you like this? And it takes a special story or project. And it's kind of like the thing we did with Dustin that you go, no, this is going to be what we're going to do. And then when they say in the 11th hour, Trump got elected, is there a way that you can make this more red state? With the producers we had, with my managers, we kind of go, we're good. Like we don't want to run after it that hard. We'd love to be on the air, but we don't know. Because other people I knew were doing like last minute rewrites to try to move something into like, we'll move it into a red state and we'll make an in-law be somebody who's Republican and stuff like that. And we were like, this is a story that speaks to everybody and everybody liked and we're going to just stand on that. But it didn't work out yet.
Yeah.
But it will.
It will.
Do you think the story is yet to be told, like an authentic one on network television that hasn't been told so far?
Well, I as of yet. Maybe have more mainstream tastes, but like I kind of loved the first George Lopez show, which really was about George, right? And his weird, bad relationship with his mom.
And he actually worked in a warehouse.
Yeah. And so like I enjoyed that a lot. And the first show I did, which came on the same year, was Greetings from Tucson. It was about me and my dad and my mom being white and that family trying to figure that shit out. And I felt like that was really real. And, you know, I think when you step into it and make it really about yourself, you got a better shot. And I think some of those shows that don't make it and some of the ones you're talking about are, you ask me, like, what are some you see all the time? You always see, like, the married couple that one culture is not agreeing with the other culture. Or you see somebody who's, you know, trying to an immigrant story. Or you see there's certain things you hear a lot about that you go, well, what's the cool part?
Damn. Yeah, man.
I don't know. Is that any good?
No, that's a great
response. It's a good answer, but it's not hilarious.
Right.
They don't.
But then, I mean, give props to ABC, even though they didn't film our show. We're in the room. We go pitch all networks.
All networks.
And within 3 days, right? And I don't know, except for at CBS, if there was a Latino exec in the room. But at ABC, we're sitting in the room, and we start talking about our lady mariachis, and the executive, we got one sentence. Everywhere else we go, we have to explain who they are. We said who they were, and Lynn Barry, who was our ABC executive who bought the show, was like, oh, I know who they are. You can move on. I'm well aware of them. So, like, what I love is when I say well-meaning people, like, she's smart and she knows that they want a Latino show. So she's out there doing research. She's out there doing her homework, like you said.
Yeah, going over my YouTube videos.
You know? But, and that's right. She also mentioned your stand-up very specifically. Yeah. And you go, that's somebody I want to do business with because, you know, she's somebody who wants to get it right. She's trying to get it right.
Trying.
Well, that's good. The effort.
They told her no.
Someone did. Yeah. And I think because it's Hollywood, someone told her not yet, because I don't think anybody ever says no.
What's up, fool?
Hell yeah. What's up?
I really like this shirt.
Oh, Fred Perry?
Yeah. It's a very sharp.
Yeah. It's the little, the Marshall.
Give it to him,
version.
Bro. Take it off.
It'll be too big. I'm sorry.
Oh, it will be.
Give him some Willie, bro. Ask you for a shirt.
Hey, bro. When are these guys going to stop begging, bro?
Oh, my God. This is so good. Now, has he heard you do this?
I think before, but he kind of got a little, like,
yeah,
looking at me all weird.
Bro, I don't sound like that, dog.
Aw.
Most of the people, when I do impressions, I don't sound like that.
Really?
I'm a tape recorder.
Give some Al Madrigal, bro.
yeah, like, give me some Al.
The cost, okay? I forgot. I used to do his voice, but, I mean, I got to see him real quick.
Yeah. Have you seen him on the... The HBO show? I haven't seen it yet.
No, we had him on before.
No, yeah, I just seen the last time I seen him was a special that he did.
But you know he's on this new HBO show.
Oh yeah, the one
Showtime, right?
Showtime.
Showtime is it Showtime?
I'm dying up here.
I'm dying.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, but read the book.
Freddie Prinze.
Is he playing Freddie Prinze or is he playing a guy like Freddie Prinze?
Like Freddie Prinze, like Paul Rodriguez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sells drugs. That's what he said.
He's the Latino.
The Escobar of comedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
What do you think? Well, tell me, you're watching TV. What do you think? What do you think they're not doing right?
I just don't think that even in film and in TV, I don't think that Latino show that like can at least, you know, pierce a veil to say that like white middle America and even like Latinos like in the West Coast, in the East Coast go, God damn, I know someone like that. Something like that's real. Or something more of a setup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a cactus. There's a
little. Well, here's something I got to ask you because you travel everywhere. So I just went to Ohio to get my boy, and we drove back home. We drove through Indiana, Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, California, Nevada. And we made it a game. We would stop into a town. Lima something, Lima, Nebraska, whatever, 5,000 people. Mexican food restaurant right there. Everywhere. And I'm like, they're here, right there. There it is. And so it's like, you think to yourself sometimes when we pitch shows that people are like, well, it's got to be set. in this part of the country, or somebody in marketing goes, well, if we put it on the air, how do we appeal to anybody besides the South?
Felipe owns a Mexican restaurant.
You know?
In the Midwest.
But you're like, in the Midwest, it's everywhere. So you go, like, it is kind of there. It just has to be sold to somebody that gets it.
Right. And that's a tough part about it.
Yeah.
The authenticity factor.
Are you guys watching Lopez?
No.
I watched the first one.
First one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the trick?
We don't have cable.
You know what? I'll give you my Academy disc.
My TV Academy disc.
Hell yeah.
But I love that because he's playing him.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh totally. He's just doing him now.
Not a great guy. Makes mistakes, can't make things work. Like I love that.
The day in the life of.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's what we should do.
Yeah.
We should do you're a veteran. You live in a shack, right?
Yeah.
And you work for George Lopez. I don't know how yet. Something like that.
They call me Veterano.
And do you have a wheelchair?
Yeah.
And but you can walk? But you have the wheelchair just for respect?
For respect. For the checks. Keep coming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Do you sometimes go to a church? Not your church, but you go to a church and in the middle of the service you stand up? Like they cured you, and
only when they're
out.
Selling the God's water,
the power of Christ compels.
So you're writing for
Superior Donuts.
Superior Donuts.
Yeah.
So you saw Joe Diaz.
I did. He came in and did a day, man.
It's nice to see you, cocksucker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, he was so good. He was so good. He played a part that he came in on the very last minute to do, and it had like two lines, and they basically were like, hey, do you want to take a walk with me? And we're going to go over here to this meeting. And all week long, we had a stand-in to him. And they were supposed to be mock-threatening and have other characters go, holy shit, what's going on? And the whole time, because I think he was on the road or something, like Jermaine and Maz kept telling everybody, like, don't change those lines. Don't worry about it. When Joey gets here, it'll work.
Bring it to life.
And he came, and it was chilling. Right when he walks in.
Oh, dude, he's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. How'd you do it, Joey?
Bro, I'm just acting myself, Felipe. What do you want me to do? This is what I do. That's it. Give me a fucking line, bro. I'll give it life. That's it. What else you want from me, bro?
You give a lot of lines live, though.
That's what I fucking do. I'm like fucking the touch of Christ, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm with the good thief and the bad thief, you know what I'm saying? I think about it a little bit. I take a shower. I develop the character. And I go in there and fucking kill it.
Now, are you Italian, Joey?
Sorry, bro.
Are you Italian? Because you sound more Italian.
At least I didn't turn the recorder, but none of this was recorded, bro.
You know what I'm saying? With the golden Jew, it doesn't matter because God is recording. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, let's move forward.
I also work with Hugh Moore.
Hugh Moore, bro.
One of the writers on the show.
You want some Hugh Moore? He doesn't say shit. Give me some Shy Tony, dog.
Shy Tony.
Oh, man. And Dan St. Germain, you know him?
No, I don't.
No, we don't
He's
know
another
him.
Stand-up. He's in the other circuit.
Right on.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What's up, fool? Rodrigo, what you got coming up?
Nothing, just this show. We'll be at Irvine. Fucking, we got Riverside on Wednesday with Armando Cosillo and myself, special guest. And yeah, man, check out the
What show are you working on?
Superior Donuts.
That's it right now?
That's it.
You still driving an old car, the black one?
Oh, yeah. 75 Plymouth.
Oh, shit.
You drive the old Paisa NAR car, bro.
Yeah. 75 Plymouth, man.
He still lives in the same neighborhood. The police still stop him, bro. What the fuck, okay?
You know what I did buy, though?
Who's this set that right here?
I just bought a new truck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Love it.
What kind of truck? Sorry you couldn't buy you a truck with our show, bro.
Yeah. F-150, man. Just a jive truck, man. Just a Ford truck.
That what you have?
No, I have a Toyota Tacoma.
Nice
little,
truck.
Little economical
nice truck. Nice truck.
Aluminum engine. Yeah. 400 miles per tank.
What are you driving?
I'm not driving nothing, bro.
Are you not allowed?
We have a Prius.
Yeah?
And a Volvo.
You got a Volvo? You
yeah,
made
a,
it, man.
Station wagon.
This
is my third Volvo, man. I've had three Volvos in my life.
That's a made car.
The Spike of Death and the other one.
There's more Volvos in my neighborhood than the cars I got.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hell yeah, man.
I got two more questions.
What?
Go for it.
All right, my second question, I'm going to leave with my second question and then end with my first question because I don't, you know, I messed it up already. But what's your favorite city to play? Do you have, like, a favorite club or a favorite
Probably
city?
Probably the Northwest, Portland.
Portland, Spokane.
Seattle. Yakima.
Okay. I can actually say Spokane this last time. Dude. Spokane. Really? Off the
What's great up. About that city?
Just not hot.
Yeah.
And the other shows are sold out. You know, everybody loves the show. Also, Texas, good.
Oh, yeah, always.
Houston.
But also, a big surprise, too, is Utah, dog. Salt
Utah,
Lake.
Too. Yeah, really? We sold out shows in Utah,
yeah. Think everybody's Mormon and uptight. Oh, my God, the crowds are fucking awesome, dude. Oh, my God.
Tampa was good, too.
Bomb, dude.
I just drove through Utah, and I drove into these tiny towns because I heard this podcast about Mormon separatists that still practice polygamy.
Yeah, they do. Polygamy, polygamy you.
And I went to, I went into this tiny town where it's still happening. And it was crazy, man. There was no lie. There was a cafe called the Merry Wives Cafe.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, it's right out there in the sign. They're not even trying to hide it. Crazy, crazy. And then my boy wanted to stop into the temple and get a Book of Mormon and talk to him. Because I think he's like, doesn't understand the religion. He just likes the idea of like a lot of wives. I don't think he knows yet. And then my next question is Mariachi Manchester.
Yeah.
I love them. What are they doing? What's happening? Are they
huge? They're touring. They're not huge. Huh? They're huge.
They have their audience.
They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Dude, they're bad as hell.
What'd you see them at?
You.
Oh, yeah, my show.
At your show. Like,
they were good.
I bought a shirt.
Yeah, I got
me too.
Yeah, and I'm like, I wanna support them. Like, what are we need to help them.
They're on tour right now. I think they were opening up for Chicano Batman, a couple of shows. I made that up. I thought they were, though.
Because
La Cafetera was.
Yeah, right before they did the show with you over there at the Novo, they toured Mexico.
Yeah, they toured Mexico. They're good.
It up all. They're bad as hell.
They're really good.
I like the whole little acoustic version of it, you know, yeah. No plugins and all that shit. And then,
so good. So good. So rich.
The Moz.
Yeah.
Morrissey.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, do I need to like do anything else? Did I mess it up? How'd I do?
To what?
No, you're great, dude.
I just want to make sure, man. I'm doing okay.
You're doing good, bro.
You have a podcast that you do as well, right? The Remarkables or something?
I do. That's funny that you bring that up. We're kind of on hiatus right now, but yeah.
Eight episodes.
You and
yeah.
Who?
I produce it. My friend Ezra is the host, and it's a podcast that's sort of like half written, half improvised. That's about two people that are fascinated with superheroes. Like they really exist.
And then the background stories to everything,
and
right?
The background stories are like, hey, did you hear we saw this guy took this building down, and now we've got a henchman to come in and tell us what it's like being a henchman. Or we got a sidekick who's been kicked out that's going to tell us about being a sidekick. Or like we had a woman come in whose job was as a book rep to rep an autobiography of a superhero that also sexually molested her. And so it's sort of like Superman
Remarkable.
Meets Cosby. Yeah. So it's like a weird fiction kind of show that is a little bit of reality and a little bit of fiction.
That's badass, dude.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I just throw a little
Yeah, even the
together.
Thing we
even
did.
A pilot, yeah.
Even the thing we did. I always like feeling a little, like a little extra. Makes it a little less than just regular.
For sure.
You know? Like we had our ladies.
Yeah, it was good.
Traveling around singing about
Love
you.
My favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think what, you know, we need to do is see if we can get, I think we need to get Eva Longoria to play the sister, and then we'll be on TV.
Yeah, we will.
That'll be tight.
So she listens, man. Right?
Yeah.
She's a listener.
She's so, a listener of the podcast.
Shout out to Corpus Christi.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
She's the lowrider.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She is. She was the best thing in Lowrider if she's listening.
See?
Yeah, man. What's up, fool? Peter Murrieta in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to him and his grandfather who pretended to speak Spanish. Is that a true story?
Oh, my grandfather?
Yeah.
He's my great-great-great-great-grandfather. He would pretend to speak...
He don't know English, huh?
He pretended he didn't know English. He was a bandit, and he would pretend he didn't know English and ride into a town and see, you know, if the posse was looking for him. And he would join the posse, and then if they did know where his hideouts were, he'd kill everybody. And then if they didn't know, he'd ride away and, you know, keep
They made a highway after him, right?
Hmm?
That's that highway right here on the 14?
Is it?
Yeah, the
is
bank robber.
Is it Murrieta, a stretcher?
Right? The bank robber?
There's a couple of places
I know there's
up
a
north.
Town called
Murrieta. There is, but that's not named after him. But up
that's
north.
A highway on a 14.
Okay, maybe. Maybe.
Palmdale,
they
Lancaster?
Chased them.
They chased him, yeah.
They chased them off the 14 and killed them there. And they named a little highway.
Oh, that's
after
right.
Him.
And there's a little plaque by it. Yeah,
they mentioned him on Blood In, Blood Out.
Really?
Oh, they do.
But that's Joaquin Murrieta.
See, that's my
oh, really?
Grandfather. Yeah.
But he wasn't even, I heard he wasn't even Mexican. Is that true?
No, he was.
Oh, he was? Okay.
He was. He was from Sonora. He was from Sonora.
Sonora. My people are from Sonora.
See?
Sinaloa.
My Chincheras. It was a tiny village. And
Chincheras.
my son's name, Joaquin.
Oh, righteous, dude. That's awesome.
What's up, fool? Peter Murrieta right here, man. We just touched the surface. We'll have him back again, man.
Thank you very much, brother.
Tell us about Willie Barcena at the fucking baseball games. Banned from every park. He's banned from parks, I heard, right?
He has a temper, man. He has a temper.
What are you talking about, bro?
Oh.
What's up, fool? That was good.
What's up?